I haven't sat down and recorded for so long. Like, I miss it, but I'm also like, ugh, my voice. Disgusting. Hey, plotters. Welcome to Booked. I am Jana, and I am tonight's Martian. I don't know. Today, we're talking about Red Rising by Pierce Brown. I have been on a little sci-fi kick ever since I watched Dune, and even though I did not understand one bit of that movie, I was like really, really reignited in my passion to, I don't know, explore space, but in like a different time and dimension. I love sci-fi. It's super limitless, and if it's built correctly, it's very engaging and fun to read. So I dove into Red Rising, which is a series that almost everyone on my Goodreads has read, like in middle school, high school-ish, and I just never picked up. I tend to gravitate towards high fantasy and not high sci-fi. I don't know what it is. Like, sci-fi is just more confusing to me than fantasy. And I read some weird fantasy. Like, I read Strange the Dreamer, and you cannot pronounce half the names. Like, Lanny Taylor throws in so many X's and Y's, it's you just hear like the sound of silverware clinking down the stairs when you try to read it. But I cracked open this sci-fi novel. And spoiler alert, I really loved it. So I'm going to give you a brief spoiler-free summary. And if you're interested, you can pause this episode, go read the book. Highly recommend the audiobook because it is read by this sweet Scottish gentleman. He does a fantastic job. Our story centers around Darrow. He is a red. In his society, reds are the lowest of the low. They have to mine Mars to try and colonize it for Earthlings to eventually move there. You see, Earth has been dying for a really long time, which is not too far off from reality. So, the Golds, the high rulers of the society that Darrow lives in, sent all the reds to Mars to prepare the earth, prepare the planet for eventual colonization. This means the Reds have to do some pretty dangerous work. Mars is not friendly to humans. They mainly work in the mines, and many people have lost their lives there. Darrow has a wife named Io. Io loves him very much, but thinks that what he is doing is wrong because she believes that their society is lying to them. Darrow doesn't agree. He thinks society is great. It's fine. They are doing a good and noble thing by preparing Mars for humanity. Io is suspicious, and that suspicion gets her killed. You see, Io decides to rise up and commit small act of rebellion that gets her murdered by the Golds. Her sacrifice spurs Darrow on to investigate why the Golds are so mean to the Reds. In his quest, he uncovers something much worse. Earth has been dead for a long time. Mars has an entire society living on it that the Reds don't know about. Humanity has already moved to Mars. The Golds were telling the Reds that they were getting ready to colonize Mars to keep the Reds subdued, to keep them in slavery. Because of Io's sacrifice, Darrow throws himself in with a legion of rebels within the Red ranks. They transform him into a Gold to infiltrate the Gold hierarchy and take it down from the inside. On this journey, Darrow has to compete in a series of war games that might get him killed, and with him, the fate of the Reds. So that's Red Rising in a nutshell, but that doesn't even scratch the surface. If you're interested, go read it right now. It's so good. I am specifically talking to my father, who I think is watching this, listening to it, whatever. I think he would love this book. It is such a good balance of sci-fi. And it also brings in those elements of the Hunger Games that we all really, really enjoyed. While also throwing in some very compelling characters and amazing motivations that keep you captivated through the entire book. Without further ado, Let's jump into spoiler town. Warning, spoilers after this point for Red Rising by Pierce Brown. You've been warned. So I rate this one a solid 4.5. It's not perfect, but it's very good. And you have to keep in mind, like, the time period it was written in. It's very Hunger Games, Divergent, like, that's the vibe. And honestly, I really loved the return to that. I read Hunger Games several years, I think, after the second movie came out. It took me a while to actually pick it up, but if you grew up around the time I grew up, it's very nostalgic to read this book because it's like, oh my gosh, this is exactly like literally all the other YA books, you know, that I grew up with. But Red Rising stood out to me because it brings some unique takes to this adventure survival sci-fi. I love the twists and turns the story took. Io's death, did not see that coming. I figured there would be a sacrificial lamb. I just didn't figure it would be so early. Again, making that comparison to Hunger Games, I felt like it would be more of like a Rue situation where we'd be in the middle of our death games and then, oh no, an innocent died. So now Darrow, he gets his second wind and he's, you know, ready to fight for justice. No, that didn't happen. she gets killed immediately. Immediately. The first chapters alone, I'm teary-eyed. And it just gets worse from there. In a good way. In a good way. Like, other characters die. There are so many just, like, complete backstabs. And I love it. Here for the drama. I grew up on Survivor. I'm down with this stuff. I will say, as a lot of people know, people that really know me, I tend to be very wary of male authors. Because so many write women wrong. Try saying that 3 times fast. And I'm sure a lot of you girls can relate when you're reading like a guy author and it's very clearly a male voice because you as a woman are reading the female character and going, I would never do this. Ever, ever, ever. Why? But our boy Pierce Brown creates realistic female and male characters that I was able to fall in love with. I really appreciated that. Because at first, you know, Darrow starts out as this perfect main character. Like, the boy, the only flaw he has is that he's too impulsive. And you're like, please, that's every male character. So I genuinely thought I would not enjoy this book. But Darrow goes through a transformation. Like, Io kind of calls him out on it at first. He's like, dude, you're way too perfect. You're way too trusting. Like, you can't live your life like this. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Io. Io, truly, what a great character. Even though she didn't make it through the whole book. Like, love her. And so he really, you get to see him mold himself into, like, imperfection. Sort of. In pursuit of perfection. It's kind of weird. Because, you know, he goes from a red. He's lowly, but he is secure in his purpose. He loves his family. He loves his community. He hates that they're enslaved, but, you know, there's a part of him that's kind of proud of the work that they do because at that point, he's still under the belief that they are doing this noble thing in colonizing Mars. Well, after we break down his complete identity, like, once he gets with the rebels and, you know, they strip him of being a red, they completely tear him away from his family. He walks away from everything. And it's not easy for him. There are several chapters that I really appreciated because they show him struggling. And it's not like this entire time through this transformation into a gold, he's going, well, this is for the good of the people and I'm honorable and I'm good. Like, yeah, there's some of that. But there's a lot of him just grieving because he wants to do what Io always dreamed of. He wants to free his people, but he's scared he'll lose himself along the way. And we get to see him lose himself, especially during the war games. He lets some really horrible things happen to his fellow comrades. And, you know, getting to see his true regret and the consequences of that really helped me to connect with that character and makes him more realistic. I feel like you read so many books, especially during, like, early 2000s where the main character is such a Mary Sue. They're so, like, perfect. That's one of the problems I had with Dune. I still need to read the book, but it was like, Paul, he's so good, he's so cool, he's so perfect. Like, no, that's boring, dude. Have some flaws. That's some of the reason, like, I will get turned off to anime so quickly, is I'm like, your motivation is just being good. And that doesn't fly with me. It's not something that I can latch onto and be like, yes, I can relate, I really care what happens to you. Like, in writing, you need to give your character flaws. I'm sorry, if you think your character is perfect in your eyes, you gotta give them some flaws. Like, there's gotta be a fatal flaw in there somewhere. Something for readers to really latch onto. Next big point, the world building. Like I said at the beginning, sci-fi tends to get me so lost. I get so turned around. It can be really hard to follow, like, the planets and the names. And even with high fantasy, you know, it takes you a few minutes to get your bearings. It takes a hot second. Sometimes you got to pull out a glossary. If it's at the back of the book, that's even better, because we don't know how to pronounce any of these names or places or things. But the world building in this book is so good. And I think a lot of it attributes to it being young adult. Not that young adult is dumbed down at all. Young adult can be as high sci-fi or high fantasy as adult books. This one, though, Pierce Brown starts with a great starting point, which is grounding us on Mars, which is familiar. That is something that I'm like, okay, I can orient myself pretty quickly. I myself am familiar with Mars. I've never been there, but, you know, I know of it. And his society that he builds, it's easy and quick to, you know, understand. Like, the gold's at the highest, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Gold is a pretty valuable substance. And the reds being the lowest because they're covered in red Martian dirt. Makes sense. I think the pinks were like the prostitutes, and I'm like, okay. But just, like, using the colors and then having the colors kind of relate to their occupation or status really, really helped me. And it was just, you know, it didn't take away from the world building at all. It actually added onto it because I was able to grasp it so quickly and I was able to, like, immerse myself even faster. I think he could have gone a little higher with it, but I'm very comfortable at this level of reading. Thank you very much. Pierce Brown creates a believable society with terrifying power. I can't stress this enough. The plot twist at the beginning, that was the hook for me. Once Darrow realizes that the Golds lied to them, that Mars has been colonized for years, and they've just been oppressing the Reds. Freaking love that. But yeah, I was just like, dude, this is, you know, like, it makes you feel, I made me feel very paranoid, because I kept, like, relating it back to, like, current society, and I'm like, what else is the government lying to us about? Ugh. So I think that Pierce Brown really did a great job with building up that society, especially, like, later chapters, once we get into the war games and the things that the Golds make these children do. It's terrifying because, honestly, like, I could see some pretty screwed up adults doing that today. And it's gross and it's messy and it just adds to the story, honestly, because you're like, yeah, society is corrupt. And the way that we decide who gets to lead and, you know, it's kind of goes hand in hand with some of these war games of House Mars, you know what I'm saying? It's not pretty. And especially this book brings a lot of philosophical questions about power. Who wields it? Why do they get to wield it? What makes any of this right? Should these war games be permissible? Why shouldn't they? It's very, very, like, you have to think. This isn't like a light read. This isn't something like, oh, what a fun fantasy story. It's not like Star Wars, where you can just kind of watch it. This really goes in deep. I'm not saying Star Wars isn't deep. Star Wars is one of my comfort movies. I could just watch it and be like, this is fine. This book, though, like, I really had to think about, and I could really relate a lot of the concepts back to modern day, like, philosophy, theology, current events. It's kind of scary. Maybe Pierce Brown is an oracle. I will say it did drag a little in the middle for me. Like, there are several slow scenes where, you know, Darrow is way in his feels or just, like, up in his head. And there's a point where he gets kind of kicked out of his his house. And so he's like in the wilderness by himself, kind of Katniss and Peeta style. He finds, you know, another person, and they form an alliance. But there's a so much action packed in this book. I feel like that didn't, the like slow parts didn't take away from the reading for me. And again, you got to think about the time period this was written in. Like Maze Runner had a lot of slow parts like this too. I also would like to compare this book to the first Kingsman movie, because like the tests and even the war games they put Darrow through really reminded me of the tests they put the main character through in Kingsman. So that was kind of cool. That's just like my little fun fact. My brain tends to wander and compare things to other things. And so I was in the middle of reading like the middle part of this book, and all I could think of was Kingsman and like Eggsy. So if you like Kingsman, you know, this could be the book for you. I will say the twists were pretty obvious to me. I do read a lot, so it might not, like, they might not be that obvious, but you know me. I have an English degree. Half of my college classes were about how to spot a plot twist a mile away, what makes a good one from a bad one. So that may have just been a me thing. But, I mean, the characters really carry the story, and that's what matters. The plot, you know, like I said, it's very Hunger Games, very Kingsman. So it's a pretty basic plot, but the characters are so good. And like me and Ashlyn say and plotted all the stinking time, you need good characters for people to read your story. If the characters aren't good, the story isn't good. I'm sorry, you can throw in the most unique storylines you want, but if the characters aren't great, your readership will not care. And that's unfortunate for a lot of authors, because I've read way too many books where the characters just weren't there, and the story could have been amazing. But if I don't care about the characters, then I don't have any skin in the game. I don't care about the story. One of the things about this book that interested me initially was the first one is considered YA, while the rest of the sequels in the series are considered adult. I haven't read the rest of the series. I've just read the first book. So this may be like a, wow, the first book's great, and then it just completely flops. I don't know. But this book, like I said, it diverts from like Hunger Games and Divergent because it already has some pretty adult concepts in it. Like Darrow is married at the beginning. They, you know, have done the deed, which is one of the biggest things in Hunger Games and Divergent, is this weird coming of age thing. But he's married. He has all the responsibilities of an adult. The war games really go to some pretty dark places. Just to name a few, you know, sexual assault, suicide, very bloody murder. So it's definitely more for upper grade and not middle grade. But that was kind of interesting to me. I feel like maybe that was a good call for this sort of story, because, you know, it's not about Darrow finding love. It's not centered around a romance. It is centered around revenge. A lot of YA books of this time were centered around romance. Not saying that's a bad thing. I very much enjoyed The Raven Boys and, like, and Hunger Games and Divergent. Love the romance aspect of it. But for this story, like, that can't be a main focus, because Darrow is hell-bent on revenge, and he is in the middle of a pack of his worst enemies. So, yeah, and then I also having him kind of being in this adult role already and having him kind of aged up, I feel like that allowed Pierce Brown to be able to put him in some more mature situations and move his story forward faster than it would have been if he had been treated like a child up to this point. Because giving him more of a persona of an adult kind of, like, he already has a pretty strong sense of good and bad, right and wrong. He has a good sense of society and his place in it. And he has a good sense of the consequences of his actions. And that really raises the stakes and the tension for me, because he knows what will happen. He knows what will happen to his people if he messes up. So it's very tense. It's very, like, thrilling, this story. I'm really looking forward to continuing the series. I really enjoyed this one. I so want my dad to read it. Maybe we can do like a little buddy read. He doesn't read very fast, but I want to get him to read this one. Dad, if you're listening to this, it means you've read it. Congratulations. I'm so happy. I hope that we've talked about it. Future Jana will probably have a lot to say. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Booked. I'm sorry for not putting out a lot of content. Life has been crazy. So, you know, more book reviews coming soon. I have a bunch typed out. I'm very excited to share them with you. But for now, I'm signing off, and you guys will hear from me very soon. Bye!